Listen, if God is telling you to release something that you are holding on to, make sure you release it, because you only make your situation worse. Make sure you release. Don't hold on to anything that God is saying it's time for you to release. And you are saying, but how do I know it's time for me to release it? He will give you many, many opportunities, believe me. He will give you many, many opportunities to know that it's time to release this thing. Would you tell me when you need to Isaiah 45 if you've got your Bibles with you this morning? Isaiah chapter 45. And I'll be reading from verse 5. Isaiah chapter 45. He says, I am the Lord, and there is no other. Thank you, Pastor Paul. He's the only one who said amen. Amen. That's not going to be any good part. This is the good part. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. He says, I will strengthen you, though you have not acknowledged me, so that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, people may know there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. I, the Lord, do all these things. Really, what God is trying to say is, he's the one in charge. Hell is not in charge. The devil is not in charge. You know, sometimes when some of us pray, we pray as if the devil is in charge. The devil is not in charge. God is in charge. Amen. Do you know, even in the book of Revelations, he put the devil in prison.
Yes.
And there's nothing the devil can do. So God is in charge. The devil is not in charge. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, so anytime you pray, you're trying to make sure the devil stays where he belongs to. Say, devil, don't cross the line. You stay where you belong to. That is where you belong. You see, in Isaiah chapter 45, what we just read, God was talking to King Cyrus. He was talking to Cyrus. Now, King Cyrus was, how do you call him? He was the king of Persia. Very powerful guy. Very powerful guy, King Cyrus. He was even instrumental in the freedom of the Israelites from captivity back to their homeland. And God even used him to advance his kingdom. He used him even to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. God can use anybody to advance your cause.
Yes.
As long as you are his child, he can use anybody to advance your cause. You see, the mistake Pharaoh made, he thought that he was in charge. When God sent Moses to say to Pharaoh, let my people go and worship me for 3 days. Pharaoh said, I will never let them go. He thought he was in charge, and it was a big mistake he made. He said, let my people go so they can go and worship me for 3 days. He said, no, I will never let them go. And I'm sure at that point, Moses must be thinking, you don't know this God that you are messing with. You don't know this God that you are messing with. I said, I would never let them go and worship their God. In fact, these guys, they seem to have nothing to do. That is why they want to go and worship God, increase their work they are doing, so they don't even have time to think about their God. That's what he said. The spirit of Pharaoh, you know, is still alive today. That spirit is still alive. But so is the spirit of God too. It's alive. You know, God dealt with Pharaoh. He dealt with him. You know, every plague that happened in Egypt, the first plague was what? Turning the Nile River into blood. God was dealing with the Nile God. He turned that water into blood to the point that they couldn't even get water to drink. Now, Pharaoh thought he could do the same, so he calls his magicians. And I say, how are you going to respond to this? And what do they do? Now, you think about it. There is no water. Now, the Nile River was their source of irrigation, source of farming, source of livelihood. They needed that thing to survive. And everything has been turned into blood. So Pharaoh tells his magician, how are you going to respond to this? And they turn the little water they have left into more blood. You think, no, rather, I want to reverse the process so that some kind of normality will return. But what did they do? They turn it into more blood just to make the situation worse. Listen, if God is telling you to release something that you are holding on to, make sure you release it. Because you only make your situation worse. Make sure you release. Don't hold on to anything that God is saying it's time for you to release. And you are saying, but how do I know it's time for me to release it? He will give you many, many opportunities, believe me. He will give you many, many opportunities to know that it's time to release this thing. So God dealt with every single god in Egypt so that Pharaoh will know that, listen, I am God, you are not in charge. I, God, am in charge. The ninth plague was turning everything into darkness. In fact, the Bible says it was so dark, you could literally feel the darkness. That's God dealing with the sun god. And there was nothing they could do. So he showed Pharaoh that, look, Pharaoh, you are not in charge. I am in charge. I am in charge. There's nothing that you can do. God chose you to do it that way for some reason. You see, last Monday, something interesting happened to my wife. She went to the park to she's a nanny, so she I didn't ask her permission to share this, but I'm sharing anyway. She went to the park to take some children to the park because she's a nanny. It was a lovely day on Monday, you know. Sun was out and everything. And at some point, she dropped her cards, you know, her bank cards. Now, she didn't realize she had dropped them until several minutes later, you know, when she realized that she had dropped the bank cards. So now she was a bit worried because these days it's contactless. You can just get it, go into any shop, and then exactly help yourself use it. So she, you know, she called me. I said, look, don't worry too much. We tried to call the bank, but couldn't get through to the bank. I said, don't worry. Even if they've got their cards, they can't spend more than £200 because you can only do so many contactless transactions anyway. After a while, you either stop it or it will ask for your PIN. Just say, look, it'll be fine. Don't worry. So I hung up. I didn't want to pray for her over the phone because she probably would be thinking, if this thing has come to prayer, then it's serious. So I didn't do anything. So she just hung up. And then after she hung up, I said, Lord, I stopped this card from being used. I said, Lord, if anybody gets hold of this card, stop any transaction. Then I left it at that. So I went back to my work because Pastor Joe had asked me to send something, an annual review. So I went back doing my thing. Then not long after that, I got a call. Now, what surprised me wasn't so much the call, but it was the person on the other side of the call. He goes to me, Godfrey, I was walking in the park with my son, and he came across some cards. That's what he said. And then he called and canceled the card. I said, wow. Now, this is somebody who comes to Harvest, but hasn't been to Harvest in a long time because they are shielded. You wouldn't believe, TP. Of all the people who could have come, Tottenham Pete. But you see, what's even interesting is, before all of this happened, I'd called him earlier in the day just to find out how he was doing because I hadn't seen him. So how are you doing, TP? And then he said to me, I'll be going to the park later just to walk and just to chill. I said, oh, that's nice. Little did he know that within his plan, God also had a plan. God, he was just going to the park for a stroll. But within his plan, God was also orchestrating something. Now, here's my point. Do you know that if God can orchestrate something like this, if he can do so, he could have stopped the card from being missing. The minute Gifty dropped the cards, he could have alerted Gifty that you dropped your card, so pick them up. But he allowed it to happen. So that this morning, I can have a testimony to share. Do you understand? So sometimes when God does something, he allows it for a reason. He allows certain things for a reason. He could easily have stopped it, but he allowed it. And it was for a reason. And you see, it was only a couple of cards that we lost. You know, it can be replaced easily. But there are times that you lose things in life that are irreplaceable. There are times you can lose things in life that's very hard to replace. And as I'm speaking now, I know somebody is saying, I've lost so much time in life, I don't even know what I can do with the rest of the time I have left. I can almost hear somebody saying, God, if I wish I could relive all my life again, I would do it differently this time. But this is where God comes in. This is where God comes in. Because he can do so much with what you have left. He can do so much with the time you have left that you think, You don't have any time left. He can do so much more than you think. Look, one day a woman went to Elisha, the prophet, and she said to Elisha, my husband, one of your prophets, is dead. That's what she said. and says, his creditors are after me. If I don't pay this guy now, he's taking my children away. Now, how many people know that widows and children are very dear to God's heart? They are very dear to God's heart. Yet somehow, the prophet died. Now, Elisha, this is the same guy whose spirit saw Gehazi when he followed Naaman. When he said to don't get anything from Naaman. But he saw him, the spirit, that he was following Gehazi to take those gifts. But for some reason, he didn't see one of his prophets dying. Now, I don't know how he died. If it was through sickness, God didn't even heal him through Elisha. But he died. And yet, guys, listen to me. I'm not trying to be insensitive or I'm not trying to be harsh. But when God allows you to lose something, when he allows you to lose something, then it is his vote that you don't need that thing to progress to where he wants to take you. Then it is his vote that he doesn't need that thing to fulfill his purpose in your life. It is his vote. Listen, I know how it feels like to lose stuff. I know how it feels like. I've been in situations whereby I said to God, please give this person one more month so I can spend time with them before they go. And that was during when my mom was sick. I said, God, give her one more month. But it never happened. If he can give Captain Thomas More 100 years, 1 month is nothing that he can give to my mom. I've been in situations where I've lost jobs, not because I was incompetent or didn't have the qualification, but it was due to other reasons. And I say, God, why did you let me lose this job? Why did you let me lose this person? Why did you let me lose this job? So you have the option here. You can either go to God and complain and moan, or you say, God, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to have this person in my life. Even if it's just for a few years. Say, Lord, thank you for giving me the opportunity. Or you can complain and moan. Look at Isaiah chapter 45, verse 9. Look at this. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 9. It says, woe to those who quarrel with your maker. Woe to those who quarrel with your maker. You see, when you quarrel with somebody, it's not holding their clothes or fighting with them. It's just in a disagreement. You don't agree with the person on an issue. It's just a disagreement. So when you're mourning, you say, God, I don't agree with you on this issue. I say, what to those who quarrel with your maker? You are telling God, I don't agree with you on this issue. It shouldn't have gone too soon. I shouldn't have lost this. No. Say, do not. Woe to those who quarrel with their maker. And sometimes when you love somebody so much and maybe they are sick, you go before God and beg and plead with God, Lord, spare this person's life. Now, I don't see anywhere in the Bible where he says we should beg God. He says, come with faith, come boldly, come believing. But it doesn't say, I'm not saying don't beg God. But see, when you go before God and you're begging God, it's as if you have more mercy than God. But don't forget, that's his son or his daughter too. That person you're interceding for, that's the son of God or his daughter too. First, even before they came into your life. Do you understand? So when this woman, when she went to Elisha, you see, Elisha doesn't even mention what's happened with it to the prophet. Not that he was being insensitive, but like I've always said, you live life for what tomorrow has to offer, not for what yesterday is taken away. Do you understand? Not for what yesterday, what tomorrow has to offer. So the first thing Elisha does is say, what have you got left? Say, what have you got left? And the woman said, all I have is a jar of oil. And he gave her some prophetic directions. He gave him, and this one got so much more oil, she sold it, paid her debt, and then lived on the rest. Listen, what you may have lost may be painful, but what God can do with what you have left is powerful. I'm telling you. It's so powerful. You know, sometimes I wonder why, you know, Abraham, when he was interceding for Sodom and Gomorrah, I wonder why he stopped at 10. You know, when God said to Abraham, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Then he reveals to Abraham what he's about to do. So Abraham said to God, if you find 50 righteous people in Sodom, will you destroy it? Far be from you to do such a thing. And God said, look, Abraham, if I find 50 people, never. I will spare the whole place. They said, God, if you find 45, would you spare them? God said, Abraham, if I find 45 people, I will spare them. Then he says again, God, please, don't be angry with me. If you find 40 people in Sodom, would you spare that city? God said, Abraham, I will spare the whole city if I find 40 people. Then he pushes again, would you do the same if you find 30? God said, I'll do the same. So would you do the same if you find 20? God said, I will spare them. Say, God, please do not be angry with me. If you find 10 people in Sodom, would you spare the city? God said, Abraham, I will spare the city if I find 10 people. No problem at all. The Bible says, God, then God left. Then the next scene you see, God sent two angels to Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, when they get there, Lot is sitting at the gate. Now, Abraham was pleading for Sodom and Gomorrah because he had family there, understanding Lot and his family. So his heart was in that place. So the two angels get there, and then Lot sees them. Lot invites them, washes their feet, take them home, feed them and everything. That even reminds me about everything that happens in the Last Supper. Something similar happens there. So they're having a meal. Then suddenly the men and young people in the town hear that they are there. They start banging the wall. Bam, 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 bam. Open the door, open the door. So Lot goes to the door to open the door and says, what's happening? He said, we see you've got two men there. Bring them out. We want to sleep with them. Now, this is how bad it was. And yet God was saying, look, I will spare the place if I find 10 people. As bad as it was. So Lot is trying to negotiate with these guys. They say, no, you think you can, you are a foreigner, you want to be a judge. Then they begin to break the door. Then suddenly the angels switch. They go to the door, pull Lot back and shut the door. And they strike the guys with blindness. And they begin to grope. They can't even see anything. See, this God that we serve, who can make blind eyes see, can also make seeing eyes blind. He's that kind of God that we serve. Then the angel said to Lot, how many people have you got here? Now, these are angels. Say, have you got anybody left in this city? Have you got sons? Have you got daughters? They are angels. They must have known he didn't have any sons. But they say, have you got any son-in-law, sons-in-law? Have you got any sons, any daughters? Anybody. They say, oh, anybody in the city. It was almost like these angels were trying to make up for the 10 just so they could spare that city. Saying to Lord, don't you have anyone else here? And yet he didn't find anybody. So Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed as a result. Now, here's my point. Why? I don't know why Abraham settled at 10. If God can work with 10, he could have worked with the 4. He could easily have worked with the 4. For the sake of 4, he could have spared the place. So sometimes, why give God what you don't have instead of giving him what you have? Do you understand? Why give him what you don't have instead of giving what you don't have? Even if it was one person, I believe he could still have saved Sodom. After all, it took only Jesus Christ to save the whole world. Do you understand? It took Jesus Christ to save the whole world. If he can work with 10, he can surely work with 4. So I don't know why he settled for that. So this morning, I want to ask you. See, I don't know what it is that you've lost. Maybe you've gone through things that has hit your confidence, that you don't even have confidence anymore. You don't even have the strength anymore. You feel, you know what? I can't even carry on in life anymore. I don't have anything to give God. My hope is gone. My confidence has been dented. I can't carry on anymore in life. You say, I've got nothing to give. Are you sure? You've got something to give. You've got something to give. A woman went to, God sent Elijah the prophet to a woman and said to her, listen, give me something to drink and a cake to eat. And the woman said to Elijah, I've got nothing left. All I have is something to eat and something to for me and my child to eat, and that's it, we die. Elijah said, no, you've got something. You have something. He said, no, I have got nothing. And then he convinced her, and eventually the woman decided to obey. Sometimes when you get to the point where you feel like you've got absolutely nothing to give, all you do, the next best thing, is to obey. Say, obey God, Lord. Here I am. Just do with me what you want to do. Do with me what you want to do. So I want to ask you again, is there anything you have left that you think God can use? Because this is our year of pressing into the blessing. You have to give him something to use. You have to. Whether it's pressing in, you say, I've got no prayer left in me. You've got something left. something left that God can use, that God can use to turn your situation around and get you going forward. There's got to be something. You've come too far, to go back. Besides, the God we serve is the God who takes us from glory to glory, from glory to glory, from glory to glory, from glory to glory. It's got to have something that God can use. Look at John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Sorry, John chapter 6 rather. John chapter 6 verse 12. Look at it. It says, when they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." Next verse. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Go back to verse 12 again. He says, when they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." Even God knows that you can do so much with what is left behind. He says, let nothing be wasted. Absolutely nothing be wasted. Now, this is when God fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And this is the leftover. He said, let nothing be wasted. And you know, let's go to 13, Titus, please. Verse 13 says, so they gathered them and filled the 12 baskets with the pieces of 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten them. They had 12 baskets left. 12 baskets left. Now, let me ask you a question. If he can feed 5,000 with 5 loaves, 12 baskets, how many can he feed? So much more. So much more with what is left over. So you are thinking, God, what can you do with what is left of me? You'd be surprised what God can do with what is left of you. You would be absolutely surprised what God can do with what is left. So I want to ask you a question. Maybe it's, I don't know, relationships you're in is failing. You think, God, what's left of this? I don't even have any more hope. You've got to have something. It doesn't matter. Even if it's a little bit of faith or trust or belief, something for God to work with. Something. Just God, give God something to work with. Because I think God has come to the point where he's not happy when his children come before him and live the same way that they came. He can do something for you. I just want to ask you again, do you think you've got anything left that God can use to turn your situation around? Anything at all? And if you're here and you think, you know what, I still don't have anything. Look, I'm so beaten up that I've got absolutely nothing for you. Look at Exodus chapter 9, verse 8. Exodus chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9, verse 8. Can I have that, Titus, in the New King James Version, please? Exodus chapter 9, New King James Version. It says, so the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take for yourself handfuls of ashes from a furnace and let Moses scatter it towards the heavens in the sight of Pharaoh. Next verse. And it will become fine dust in all the land of Egypt, and it will cause boils that break out in sores on man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt. Next verse, Titus. Then they took ashes from the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses scattered them towards heaven, and they caused boils that broke out in sores on man and beast. Next verse. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils were on the magicians and all the Egyptians. Now you see what is happening here. This is when Pharaoh was trying to be hard, saying, I'm not going to let these guys go. I'm not going to let these guys go. So God said to Moses, you know what? You go, take some ashes. Go before Pharaoh. Throw the ashes before him. It will turn into dust. Once it becomes dust, it will turn into boil. And when the boils hit them, he will learn his lesson and he will let his people go. And so that's what Moses did. He went before Pharaoh, took the ashes, did it, and it happened. Now let me ask you a question. Do you know what ashes are? Do you know what they are? It's what is left when everything is burnt. When you've lost everything, what is left is ashes. And even that, God used it to set his people free. He used it to set his people free. There is nothing. Is there anybody here? Even if you've just got a little bit of ash in your hand, God will use it today. Even if it's just a little bit, God will use it. So is there anybody in this room this morning who's got some ashes that God can use? Don't throw them away. It says, I formed the light and I create darkness. I formed the light and I create darkness. When in the Bible does God first form light? In the book of Genesis. Look, Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. It says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And he separated the light from the darkness. Say, God saw that the light was good. And he separated it from the darkness. Anything that God says is good, is good. Anything that God says is good, is a blessing. But here's the thing. Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Everything was perfect to start with. But then something happens, and in verse 2, it says, now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. So the Spirit of God begins to hover over all this darkness and of all this chaos and everything you see in Genesis. And then God speaks into the situation, and then suddenly, things begin to come into order. Now listen, I don't know the kind of chaos that you are in right now. But God doesn't need your life to be perfect for him to use you. He can step into your chaos. He can step into that void that is left and command the blessing out of it. He doesn't need your life to be chaos. So don't think you are waiting for your life to be perfect before you come to God. Don't try and give God something that you don't have. Give him what you have left and see what he does with it. Give him what you have left and see what he does with it. Even if it's just ashes you've got, he will use it to set you free from any bondage that you're in. He'll use it to set you free from any trap that you found yourself in. I want to pray with you this morning. Because anytime God brings his word, I know he wants to do something. You know, this morning, when we were upstairs praying, a word came from Temitayo about what God wanted to do today, how God wanted to set people free. He didn't even know the word I was bringing. So I know the Spirit of God that hovered over the beginning is here today as well. And that Spirit wants to change things. Can you be on your feet, please? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There are two days in the year that you cannot do anything at all. You cannot do anything. One of them is yesterday, and the next one is tomorrow. It's nothing. Yesterday because it's gone, and tomorrow is yet to come. But you have today. You have today. You can do so much. And you can have an impact on your tomorrow by what you do today. You can have an impact. So as the keyboard is playing, I want you to talk to God yourself. Say, God, here I come before you here. In response to your word, I give you whatever is left of me, God. That you turn it, oh God, into whatever you want to turn it into. And I want to go one step further. Why give God just what is left? Give what you have now. Give it to him now. If he can do so much with what is left, if you give it what you have to him now, he can do much more. So let's go one step further. Say, Lord, I come before you. Have your way in me. Have your way in me. I don't want to go back the same way that I came. I don't want to go back the same way that I came. He says, I will strengthen you. Even though you have not acknowledged me. so that from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, people may know that there's no other like me. He wants to glorify himself in your life. He wants to glorify his name in your life. Would you allow him? Would you allow him? Thank you, Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, I lift every single person here into your hands right now. It's my prayer that, Father, may nobody go back the same way as they came to the Lord. And I pray that, Father, I lift everything that is left of them before you today, Father. If you can use ashes, Lord, you can use them. You can use what is left, Father. I pray that, God, you will bring such a transformation, oh God, that they will know that indeed there's none besides you, Father. Father, reveal yourself to them in a way, oh God, that they've never seen or known you before, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I feel the Lord saying, it's time that he takes his rightful place in your concept. That give him, let him take his rightful place in your life. You see, when he turned the five loaves when the leftover with the five loaves, when it was 12 baskets was left, you know, the people were amazed at what they saw. And there was, the Bible says they were rushing to make Jesus their king by force. It's time to let God have his rightful place as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in your life. So if you're here and you know you hear us preach, but you've never really have any relationship with this Jesus Christ that you hear us talk about, He's here. He would love to meet you. He would love to meet you. So if you don't know him and you'd like to, you know, you can lift your hands up. And somebody will pray with you and lead you to this wonderful man that you hear us talk about. Thank you, Father. I give you all the glory, oh God, even for the work that you've begun in your children, Father. I know that, Father, you who have started a good work, oh God, in them today, you will bring it to a completion. I give you all the praise, Father, and all the thanks in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Amen.